If you're doing the right thing and you're speaking the truth, even the greatest barriers will part and move out of your way. You have to walk the mystical path with practical feet. You know, Michael Moore said the only conspiracies he believes in are the ones that are true. There is an almost Pavlovian response that's been programmed into the mainstream media and elites. If you use certain words, conspiracy, it immediately is associated with Cook. And if you use the word UFO, it immediately brings in abduction and Cook. So, there are certain automatic responses that have been programmed into our culture, especially by big media. A careful analysis of how the rogue national security state and psychological warfare people operate shows that they have programmed this response and reaction when those issues come up. This strategy has been very carefully cultured over many decades. We have the responsibility of doing this in a credible way that makes sense, but one of the serious problems to doing this is, the closer you get to what the hidden truth is, the less believable it is, and you risk your credibility. So, it's a catch-22. I have been asked a number of times what has been the most disappointing thing over the last 15 years. By far it's been the fact that there are people with whom I had spent significant time with, and who have accepted this information as true, and who have enormously powerful positions where they could do a great deal of good, whether it's a Sen, Atter or a president or a UN official or a general in the military or a senior scientist, and basically when it gets to the point of following up the information with any productive, constructive action, they run with their tail between their legs and say, I can't do this. Henry Kissinger once said, this is the hottest potato in the universe. I'm not going to deal too much more with it. So, he knew about it, but many of these people want to just take a pass on it. It's the ultimate buck to pass. Well, who are you going to pass it to, particularly if the President of the United States has taken a pass on it? There are agendas within agendas within agendas within agendas. The question is, how do we get enough of the information out to enough of those with power, and to the public, to provide knowledge and shine a light into these dark corners? And we have to also clearly describe an alternative. After 9/11, I immediately made the decision that we must quickly identify and get out to the public these new, earth-saving technologies, while continuing disclosure. We had to do something to create enough support and potential funding to be a countervailing force to this machine that's been going on for over 50 years. It was time for us to go from military witnesses and documents to the actual technologies. When 9/11 happened, we knew we were getting very late in the game. In the fall of 2001, we formed Space Energy Access Systems, Incorporated, SEAS. A group of people put in a few $100,000 together so we could investigate what was available in the non-covert world. We have found some technologies at proof of principle stage, but none so far that are ready for release to the public as a free energy system. Those devices that are more advanced, and we have seen some, are held by scientists who have been extremely intimidated or brainwashed into secrecy. For example, Dr. Loder and an engineer on our team went to visit one of these scientists who had been intercepted by a physicist who has been indoctrinating him with eschatological belief systems. This spook, who is masquerading as a scientist, told the inventor, "Don't let any of your technology out until our society collapses. And then, Phoenix, like, you can be the science savior, and bring the technology out when everything has fallen apart." So, basically, this man has been brainwashed with an eschatological timeline and is withholding the technology, pending these cataclysmic events. Of course, this is a self-fulfilling prophecy. If we don't have something to stave off the depletion of the oil reserves and the destruction of the biosphere, these terrible events will happen. So, it's circular thinking. But you can't really do anything once someone has been brainwashed with this belief system. We have also identified an anti-gravity system that is in the early stages of development. With sufficient funding, it could be brought to maturity as a free energy and anti-gravity system. The world desperately needs these earth-saving technologies. If you do that with the plans for a new technology, it will not disappear, but rather be massively disclosed. And then killing us will not matter. This is a counter-intuitive strategy that many scientists have a hard time understanding. Secrecy is impossible to maintain against the group we are dealing with. They have electronic systems that interface with consciousness. Forget the old NSA hooks in space. That was 60s technology. They can monitor everything going on in real time. And there is no way for us to keep what we are doing secret from that element. So we don't waste any time or effort or thought doing it. It is delusional to think you are going to do anything off the radar of this powerful covert machine. Then what is your choice? Your choice is to do a type of Aikido. You take that energy and you flip it around to the opposite and you act in complete openness and transparency. So instead of being obscure and secretive and furtive, you do it in plain sight, and you get it out to the masses in real time as quickly as you can. That is why as soon as Dr. Loder, and a member of our board for SEAS, and I came back from an offshore location where we found an energy device in 2003, we went public and talked about it with millions of people listening. The more that people know, the less likely it is these rogue interests can act, because there is a big spotlight on the effort. They're vampires, like Dracula. They don't want to step into the sun. When the sun comes up, they go running like cockroaches. You flip the light on and the cockroaches all go back into the crevices. They do not want to be caught in a cover, murderous, disruptive action against a group with high profile. I have spoken to some people in the mainstream media, who have said, it would be very difficult for us to get the information out simply as a story about UFOs, but if you or anyone else gets a threat, and you can prove it, or anything happens to you, that is going to be a big story, because then it is going to be a scandal. And there will be millions of people wondering what the hell happened to you and your people. We also have tapes, that are already duplicated and in the hands of people for sudden release, that disclose the key facilities and many names related to this covert group. But, many of these scientists live in fear and trauma, a type of new energy post-traumatic stress syndrome. These scientists have been convinced through psychological warfare modalities, to be very paranoid and overly secretive, but that only works against them. They will never win the secrecy game. But we can succeed at disclosure. Because in speed and in openness, there is safety, contrary to what people think. There is no way you're going to do it secretively. Your worst enemies are going to know everything you're doing in real time, and the people who could be the supporting you, the masses who are concerned about the environment and oil, won't know what you're doing. This is the mistake that has been made for 100 years. People want a solution to the environmental, oil and poverty issues of this planet. There is enormous support for any technology that helps resolve those problems. Once mass support is in place, you would have people rioting and burning down Washington before you could let the patent office issue a Section 181 to seize the technology. When Ted Koppel invited me on Nightline if we finally identify a legitimate free energy device, I said, I'll come on your show and tear any secrecy order up in front of millions of people if you let me. He looked at me, this is face to face with Ted Koppel, and said, I will. No amount of money and no threat is going to stop us from doing what is right. We cannot have the good future that awaits humanity without technologies that take us off fossil fuels and nuclear power. Therefore, it is worth doing what we need to do to secure these technologies for peace, full applications, and not allow them to be weaponized. This is a completely achievable objective. The secrecy and ruthless suppression of these technologies is related to power. If you are doing something where you are impacting a $5 or $6 trillion part of the world economy, and it is the core operating paradigm of the world economy, it is a significant issue. Many people don't know that one of the key areas of concern at the National Security Council of the United States is economic national security. One of the witnesses that I am working with worked under an admiral who was in charge of the Office of Naval Research. This admiral at a meeting said, point blank, My chief job is maintaining the status quo of the world's energy supplies and grid. Because imagine this, we come out with these technologies, and the billion people in Latin America or Sub-Saharan Africa, or the 1.1 billion people in India or the billion and one, half or 2 billion in Asia would have the ability to have a device in every village that would generate all the energy they would need for clean water, electrification, refrigeration, transportation, light manufacturing, without pollution, and without any cost for the energy itself. The device would be no more expensive to produce than a generator. You would have an enormous uplifting of the masses of the world's population that are now living in mind-boggling poverty. We forget that there's only about 20% of the world's population that is living with anything resembling modern conveniences and modern technology. The other 80% are barely half a step out of the jungle, if that. So in that setting, we have a world of increasing crises, increasing anger at the West, increasing likelihood of war and terrorism. But when these technologies come out, this is the tides that will lift all ships. It is really good news, unless you own a trillion-dollar oil field. What happens when billions of people in India, Sub-Saharan Africa, Latin American and Asia begin to have a level of economic activity that surpasses that of America and Europe? Suddenly, you have the biggest geopolitical power shift in the history of the world, where the Great White Father is no longer the only one on the plantation making decisions. And the truth is, this speaks to the heart of the fascist fears within some of the control elements. Once free energy is available to the world, these interests would have to actually share power with people who are from other continents, other races, other cultures. Geopolitical power doesn't flow from the size of your population, it flows from your economic clout. If population alone determined world power, the most powerful countries in the world would be India and China, and they are not. Power flows from your technological and economic prowess, and result in military power, that and that alone. The Soviet Union fell apart because its economic prowess was bankrupt. And now the lone superpower in the world is the United States. And yet, humanity could have manufacturing, with no pollution, recycling 100% of all waste, energy for electrification and transportation without pollution, all with no cost for the energy itself. There would be no need for a multi-trillion-dollar electric grid system that India and much of the world lacks, and which they do not have the financial resources to create. These new free energy technologies would grow the world economy from a $30 trillion per year economy to a $100 or $200 trillion economy. However, most of that growth would be outside of America and Europe, which together only has 600 million people. The world has 10 times that number, 6 billion. This would cause the biggest shift in geopolitical power in the history of the human race. And it would be fairly sudden, 10, 20 years, at the most 50 years. This is one of the key reasons for the secrecy. Such secrecy is deeply rooted in power issues, and unfortunately also has a rather ugly racist undertone to it. The old adage, if you want peace, work for justice is quite apt here. It is very hard to have justice in the world when a very small number of people are using up all the world's resources, while the vast majority live in mind-numbing poverty. In order to change that dynamic, these technologies must come out. Once they do, the world will grow for all its peoples. So this is the big question. Are we willing to create a world that's just and abundant for all of its citizens and really share power in the world? Are we willing to put a seat at the geopolitical table for all peoples? So far the answer has been no to this good future. It is time we say yes. Growth will be stunning and rapid in regions of the world long withheld from progress. It is similar to areas that have bypassed 100 years of development of linear phone lines, and gone directly to satellite phones and cell phones. On a much more fundamental and profound level, these regions of the world will skip over 150 years of smokestack industrial revolution, and go directly to point-of-sight power generation without transmission wires, and without the need for fuels or expensive infrastructure. So they will quickly become industrialized, but without pollution. And with that will come enormous economic activity, technological developments and geopolitical power. Such a change in how we generate energy will cause a decentralization of power, literally and figuratively. Power generation will be decentralized, but so will power politics. Every village will begin to be self-sufficient, thus minimizing centralized control. Once you understand these technologies, you understand that they will be able to generate the energy needs of the local area and all transportation and manufacturing needs. And the more developed applications of these sciences allow for the manifestation of any material object needed in the local area. So it will be an enormous revolution in the material fortunes of the earth. We are coming out of an era where people have been clubbing each other over the head over a scrap of land or a piece of gold. This is a whole new paradigm. But this new paradigm washes away the need for central, clandestine secret society ties, centralized banking and excessive central control. We will be unified and integrated as a world civilization, but there will be a concomitant increase in empowerment at the local level. On the one hand, we will become increasingly integrated as a global village because of instant global communications and transportation. Travel from one continent to another will be extremely fast using these new anti-gravity propulsion systems. And yet on the other hand, the level of self-sufficiency and empowerment will be centered primarily at the local, village, and neighborhood level. These twin paradoxical processes of increasing empowerment at the village or local level, and increasing integration of the global community will occur simultaneously. It's a new world completely. I'm reminded of the REM song, "It's the end of the world as we know it. But I feel fine." As wonderful as this global transformation is for the masses of humanity, and for the Earth, it is a worst-case scenario for the very elite people who want to stay firmly in control of the world. Because when you decentralize power generation and economic activity, you also decentralize this top, heavy kleptocracy currently running the planet. I am reminded of a story that Colonel Corso told a mutual friend about an experience he had at Holloman Air Force Base in 1956. At that time, many extraterrestrial vehicles were zipping around over the base and were being tracked on radar. Of course it was a very sensitive area, near the Trinity site, where we detonated the first atomic weapon. On this one particular day, an object was tracked on radar during day time. This ET craft descended and landed out on the Holloman Range. Col. Corso jumped in a jeep by himself to go out to that area. When he arrived, he saw a seamless, silvery egg-shaped craft, hovering just above the ground, silently. It would become fully materialized, shining in the sun, and then disappear, and all he would see was a mirage, a heat wave, over the sand. The AT craft would dematerialize into this energy field in the shape of the craft, and then it would flash back and be materialized again. Suddenly, an extraterrestrial being appeared outside the craft with some sort of a communication device, to communicate telepathically. Col. Corso asked, "Who goes the friend or foe?" And the ET said, "Neither." The AT then proceeded to say, "We would like for you to stop using some of these radar systems that are interfering with our craft. Remember that the Roswell crash had happened because there were high-powered radar systems set up on a certain frequency that would disrupt ET craft propulsion and navigation systems." Col. Corso, being a rather brash military guy, said, "Well, what's in it for me?" The AT turned to him, and said, "A new world, if you can take it. Now 50 years later, we must learn to take it, to accept the new world being offered to us. We need to learn to accept the new world that has been delayed for decades, and initiate what will be thousands of years of a sustainable, enlightened civilization. That is what the ET civilizations are waiting for us to do, and we are the generation that must achieve it." Such a system, anyone or any group or nation who would even plan to use such technologies for war, violence or harm would be immediately stopped. We cannot release these technologies and then pretend that there is not going to be another Hitler or Saddam Hussein or Pol Pot. It does mean that today we have the means to monitor such matters and the means to enforce a stable peace. Technologies now exist in the covert world that, used by those ardent for peace, could monitor and stop any harmful application of these new energy systems in real time. We must be realistic, everyone isn't going to go instantly into samadhi and enlightenment and become non-violent and peaceful. We are humans. But, there are enough good people in the world and enough good leaders in the world to provide the leadership we need. When there is an abusive or potentially dangerous character who arrives on the scene, the policy should be the following: every civilized country on earth should rise up and stop him before it becomes a problem. If this policy had really been followed, World War I would have never happened, nor would World War II. Today, the means of communication and monitoring exist, but the question is the willpower and the intent there to enforce the peace? Take for example Saddam Hussein and his chemical weapons. Who provided him with the technology and chemicals? The Germans and Americans and French did, with some help from the Russians. Rumsfeld himself was involved in this technology transfer to Saddam. And how did such figures acquire the wealth to secure these weapons programs? Oil. It has nothing to do about whether or not we can do it, and the sooner people learn this lesson, the better. The state of the world is manipulated by those who benefit most from conflict. We certainly didn't learn this lesson after World War I, and we didn't learn it after World War II. And here we are now. So the question is, just exactly what has to happen before the body politic learns this lesson? We have already hit peak oil production, and we are going to become like Mad Max, the movie, fighting over the last barrel of oil. The time has come to do the right thing, and move our civilization to its next level of development. Are we willing to live with the rule of law, like a civilized world? Or are we going to be cowardly and look the other way when rogue and illegal operations and Murder Incorporated run roughshod over the interests of the people? Once we disclose effectively the existence of these technologies, the public will say, we want them. Billy Bob, with his 8-cylinder pick-up, doesn't want to pay $10 a gallon to run his truck down the road. There are forces that will bring these concerns to a head, and they are inevitable. And inevitably we will come out on the other side of this, and the world will embrace this vision. But the question is, how much chaos and stupidity will transpire before we come out on the other side? That is the only question. Humans are, as a group, survivors, and when push comes to shove, we will survive. I welcome the fact that releasing these technologies would require us to create an enforceable, sustainable, peaceful civilization just to survive. We're at the point now where everyone knows we can't put off much longer dealing with these large structural and environmental issues. So when a solution comes along, it will focus people's attention and finally require us to do what we should have done decades ago. Without peace there can be no further progress on Earth. The simple truth is this: we have reached the point in human evolution where the only possible future is a peaceful one. Now, there are many people who argue, oh, we're never peaceful and we'll always try to kill each other. The truth is most people don't want to go around murdering each other. Out of 6 billion people, most are actually very nice peaceful people. Unfortunately we have not been willing to restrain the few rabid dogs that routinely like to attack the flock. In super secret projects, there are people who fantasize about using these technologies to go into space, like Star Wars, with guns blazing. But technologies that go beyond the crossing point of light cannot be applied for a weapon system and have a people survive its use, any more than we could have survived a thermonuclear launch. Some in these covert projects have misinterpreted certain ET actions. For example, when we tried to detonate a nuclear weapon on the moon, to show the USSR how powerful America was, an extraterrestrial vehicle came in and intercepted it and destroyed it. Now, you could take that to be evidence that these ETs were hostile towards us, when in reality they were trying to protect facilities on the moon, and also the sanctity of space as a peaceful place free from weapons of mass destruction, but from the shoes of those humans who wanted to see that moon detonation happen. Their frustration could lead to the assumption that this ET action was proof of their hostility. A number of such events have happened, where humans have misinterpreted ET actions as evidence of hostility, when in reality it was evidence of enlightenment. These extraterrestrial civilizations are simply trying to contain an immature and out of control militarized civilization on Earth from escaping the biosphere and going out into space. But depending on your perspective, you can view it as one way or another. I'm quite certain that the ET intent is peaceful. But if you wanted to spin such an event to, say, President Reagan, or to someone else inclined to support Star Wars, you could cite that event and say, "See, there is a threat we are facing. We need to build up weapons in space and hit them hard." I am not speaking theoretically as I give you these examples. These are things that have actually happened and have led to justifications for targeting extraterrestrial vehicles and weaponizing space. We have Disclosure Project witnesses to ET events where 16 to 18 intercontinental ballistic missiles were taken offline completely, instantly. See Bob Salah's testimony in Chapter 29, and when I asked them, "What do you think the ETs were saying?" They say, "We think they were trying to tell us, please don't blow up this beautiful planet." Now, you could take that same event and come to a different assessment, and say, "Well, they are interfering with our national security preparedness. They were making us vulnerable to the Soviets." The same action can be interpreted different ways, depending on whether you are in a paranoid mindset and are motivated by aggrandizing your military, industrial budget. ET actions have shown us on many occasions that if we were to engage in acts that would jeopardize the survivability of life on Earth, they would intervene and stop it, and they could do it very quickly. This was demonstrated over and over again: the launch at Vandenberg AFB, which was intercepted and destroyed, the Moon Intercept, taking these 16 intercontinental ballistic missiles offline. I am certain the extraterrestrial civilizations were trying to tell us, "Don't go down the path of mutually assured destruction, but if you do, we can stop it." Now, what a lot of people don't know is that similar events were happening in Russia at exactly the same time. ET actions were trying to say to all these parties on Earth, "Make peace, and don't go down this path of mass destruction, and if you try, we're going to stop you anyway." They weren't trying to give the Soviets an advantage over us, if they were doing the same things in the Soviet Union at the same time. ET civilizations certainly are not going to let us send these weapons into space. And if we try, they will be tossed back like a bad penny. When covert shadow government operations have tried to go out in space with ARVs and other super advanced spacecraft, they have been shut down. A Defense Intelligence Agency witness told me that we had a number of sophisticated satellite systems that were pointed out into space, not down to the Soviet Union. They were being used to track and target extraterrestrial vehicles out in space. He said the ATS were routinely shutting these systems down, out of self-defense. But such actions angered the masters of the universe, types who are not accustomed to having their plans frustrated. So, if you wanted to spin such events to people inclined towards paranoia and militarism, it would be easy to do. And that is what's happened over the last 50 years. A president or other high official is vulnerable to this cherry pick in of intelligence and a xenophobic spin being placed on events. And who else is available to such officials to provide another perspective? This is one of the real risks of closed, secret systems. But ETs want us to solve our own dysfunction. They will intervene significantly and openly only in the case of global thermonuclear war, a massive geophysical collapse, or in the event that humans take actions that would upset the order of peace in the universe. This is not the route of first choice, because if one culture moves into another culture and tries to artificially impose something, it is almost universally a failure. The idea that extraterrestrial civilizations will come to Earth and impose some new order is a fantasy. These are lessons that we have to learn as a people who are stumbling out of childhood's end and into maturity and adulthood. Extraterrestrial civilizations have been observing our development for many, many years, maybe thousands and perhaps millions.